Welcome to Guest Host, the podcast where the host changes each episode. I'm Mike, and this is Pat. Pat's the regular on the show, and I'm the guest host. We're filming live from the boardwalk. My store, who's sponsoring this episode, Mike's Toys and Collectibles, the biggest, the best, the original, 25th Street, and the boardwalk.
In Wildwood, New Jersey.
In Wildwood, New Jersey. It's very important that people know what state we're in. We're also in America.
That was such a fucking botch job.
You know what?
But it's going to stay.
It's going to stay, because this is the first episode. This is the first episode, right?
Second
episode.
Oh. First was with Will.
Okay. Is that out yet?
I don't know. I think Tim's still editing.
Okay, we're still editing now. All right, so that's... I can't be held responsible for...
By the way, hi, Tim. We love you.
Hey, Tim. How's it going? This episode, we're going to talk about some different stuff. We're going to talk about the Punisher comics, written by Garth Ennis?
Ennis.
Every time I read his name, I think of that episode of Futurama where Fry has sex with his own grandmother and his grandfather's name is Ennis, and the sergeant keeps going, Ennis! I don't know why I had... But that stuck out in my head. So we're going to talk about some different stuff. So yeah, this Punisher comic is pretty great. It was written back in 2003-ish, something like that. First six issues are called Born. And it's a...
Is it six or four issues?
It's six, one through six.
Really?
Uh-huh. I thought it was four, because I remember those four distinct covers of the man holding his face.
I think it's four issues.
Why does it say Born one through six then, huh?
Let me see that.
Come on, Pat. Let's get on the ball.
No, that's wrong. They did a typo.
You think there's a typo?
There's only 4 days. First day, second day, third day.
Born number one.
And last day.
Yeah, see the face keeps getting... This is really boring for everybody that's listening to us flip pages and say born number two.
Well, we want to get our facts straight.
We do want to get our facts straight, right? See, another messed up face. The third.
Issue four, spookiest cover.
Four, yeah.
And great transition.
Yeah, great transition. It's. I mean, I spent a while actually looking at this. If anybody's curious, if you want to, you know, do that wonderful invention we have called Google, you can look up The Punisher Born number four is the cover we're looking at. And it is...
terrifying.
Terrifying. It is a man holding his own face and his fingers or, you know, gnarled over, if that's the right word.
Right.
Most people gnarled. Might just say, but they're, yeah. And then it transitions from, like, this beautiful oil painting to the comic book art in the first panel. And it's, I mean, it's exact, the same thing. The fingers are all in the exact same locations, and it transitions to this different art style in the rain. It's beautiful.
It's a very spooky war comic.
Very spooky war comic, yeah. So this is issue four. We feed the beast. Wow, you're right. There are four issues.
It's a typo.
Whoa. Way to fuck it up, Max Comics.
Marvel.
Who printed this? Who's the actual printer?
It's Marvel.
Yeah, I know, but like, nice job, Dan Buckley. Dan Buckley? Isn't that the dude that did Control Alt Delete?
I hope not.
Well, obviously, it's probably not the same Dan Buckley. guy who did Control Alt Delete is kind of a hack, right?
Loss.
Yes. The four panels. I read that comic. I did.
You
I was
enjoyed
in like
it?
Eighth grade. Well, yeah, because I was, you know, in eighth grade, and it was the gaming revolution. I had just gotten my 360, and I was in the my gamer zone was underground. I wasn't pro. I was underground. Yeah, there was casual and family and underground. That was me.
Underground?
Yeah. Gamers rise up, baby. If we don't die, we respawn. Sponsored by Microsoft. Game Fuel. Please give us money. Mountain Dew. I promise I'll start drinking it again, even if it hurts my stomach. I have a weak stomach. Yeah, so anyway, Punisher Warzone, the movie. I haven't seen it. But we started watching it. My friend said, no, turn this trash off because a black guy had an Irish accent. And I'm reading this comic. And sure enough,
there's a black guy with an Irish accent.
He's the most Irish guy in the entire book. And he's black. And I'm really mad that we didn't watch that movie. And I just talked to him about
it's
it today.
It's not good.
He just watched it 2 weeks ago.
It's still trash.
I still haven't seen it. I was waiting to watch it with you.
I've watched it twice.
Tom. Calling you out. Smith, specifically Tom Smith. You know, look him up. You'll never find him. Such a generic name. It's
but,
real, though.
Yeah, I know. But the Warzone is such... It's a trash movie.
Yeah, apparently he gets a whole bunch of kills that are in, like, cool but super unrealistic.
He punches a guy's face in.
That's cool.
Like, literally, like, the skull and everything is just gone.
Well, the weakest part of the skull is probably the face, if I had to guess, because it's got the most holes in it. And whatever has the most holes is usually the weakest part of a structure.
He also... The main actor of The Punisher, I can't remember.
It wasn't Thomas Jane.
No, it's a shame, though.
It was.
He really likes being The Punisher.
Did you see that short they made?
Yes.
It was good.
It was good. You've been watching a whole lot of Punisher ever since you started reading
this. No. I just saw that a couple, years ago or whenever came out.
Like, he was in the video game, and that game was really good, except for the boss fights.
Yeah.
Those boss fights are really bad.
I didn't play it. I'm sorry. I just remember having IGN, not IGN, what was it? Game Informer, and seeing the advertisements.
Years ago, man. That's ancient.
Yeah, man. I'm old. I'm 27. I'm almost 30. Here I am, talking about comic books with you. After I just worked 10 hours.
Welcome to the club.
For any of you that don't know the sounds you're hearing outside, if you're hearing any at all, we heard some on the test recording. We're on the boardwalk. Door's down, but it's, you know, a thin metal door. It doesn't block out all the sound.
But anyway, back to Warzone. There's a couple of neat little Easter eggs in it. For instance, like, we've talked about how the most terrifying covers in the Punisher Max are those by Tim Bradstreet.
Yes.
Just because they're terrifying and imposing.
He looks like a horror victim, or a horror villain in every single one. Every cover, if you guys want to, you know, use that Google again and find out what we're talking about. Every cover is somebody just looking over their shoulder.
And
it's
there.
It's the moment that they notice that this dude is stoically standing behind them.
Waiting.
Just waiting. And he's got his hand on his gun. And no expression on his face. You just see that skull in his shirt.
And you're fucked. And
it's not even a panicked look yet. It's just...
Oh.
He sees him.
And he doesn't know
what
to do.
He hasn't even processed what's happening yet. Still washing his hands. Still...
Issued number 10.
Yes, Punisher number 10 is what I'm looking at specifically.
Look up, what is the one with the elevator? That might be early.
Oh, that was, yeah. That where the,
number 3?
They cut the wire.
Yeah. That's with Microchip in it.
Yes, Micro is still there.
So a little further.
It was part of In the Beginning.
It was the issue in which he threw the guy who cheated on his wife out his window.
Yes.
Because he threw his wife away while he lost his, which pretty good. But in Warzone, there's a they call the motel where the final shootout is the Bradstreet Hotel, and like that's a neat little nod.
Okay.
Bradstreet does fantastic covers. There's only a couple of other artists that I know that do fantastic when it comes to covers. The other is Glenn Fabry, which I've shown you.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic oil paintings.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the other one, but like you can never... A good oil painting is really hard to fuck up, because usually those that do it for covers know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Except, unfortunately, deadlines can be a real bitch, like Baby Hands, Glenn Fabry.
That's right.
I'm really sorry about that, Fabry, Fabry.
Why'd you bring it up?
Because it's funny.
If he doesn't like it, and you know that it's like his biggest like failing, why would you bring it up?
Because it's funny.
Yeah.
You've seen it.
It is funny. Well, I mean, you know what? It's not even that bad of a cover, and that's the real shame.
No, it's not. He just got fucked on the deadline.
Yeah, that's the real shame, is that if he just had a little more time to work on it, it would have been
He wouldn't have had baby hands.
We were talking about the Thunderbolts, the recent run, probably about 8 years ago it came out, where they were all, it was like everybody was dressed in red, it was Red Hulk and Deadpool and
Yes,
Electra,
we were talking about Steve Dillon's art.
Yeah, Steve Dillon's great artist, but everybody just had this weird, smooth look to him. They all looked just kind of like weird, bubbly. Everybody kind of looked like you took an air pump, stuck it up their ass, and pumped it a little bit. So that everybody
just
looked like they
dug them.
Yeah, a little bit. Everybody looked like they ate bees. Just a little bit. You know, I mean, all the muscles were weirdly round. There was no, like, gruff line shading on anything. All the shading was incredibly smooth, and, like, there was no harsh shadows ever.
It's because it was all digital.
And it was all digital. It just
because
didn't,
Marvel...
It honestly turned me off to the entire thing. And this was during, yeah, it was 8 years ago. I was in, like, oh, Deadpool's cool, you know? Back when I wasn't like, oh, he's talking to the audience. That's me, you know?
Yeah, but, like, if you ever read Preacher, you'd love... I've told you this before, Dylan's art is love it or hate it.
Yeah.
Because some people really hate it because it's kind of hard to... I don't know. It's weird to see a semi-realistic art portrayal where it's, like, the eyes and the mouth and everything and what have you. But I'd love it just because it's so different.
Yeah.
You rarely see something like that. And especially when it starts to do something really fucked up, because Dylan really didn't give a shit what he was told to draw. He's like, oh, this guy gets his dick bitten off by a dog. All right, let's draw that out.
A lot of that kind of stuff happens in Punisher. Dude gets it. They're actually, in this book, this one volume one, the
complete collection.
I think there's been at least two dicks in the past like five issues that have been chopped off. The one dude's balls were chopped off and he had to carry them around in a paper cup. And the other dude, they were just chopping off body parts and they said, start with his cock. and the looks on these people's faces, the expressions that who's doing this, Robinson? Or, I don't know who's.
Depends on you.
I have to apologize. I'm not good with like artists.
I think it's
and
stuff
like that. I don't remember.
I think it's.
There we go. Hold on. I got you. Inks and pencils. Derek Robbins. Robertson. Yeah.
He also made.
Pencils. Wow. Oh, hold on, wait. What were you just about to say about pencils?
Pencils is the one that actually draws everything. Right. Colors adds the ink color. Ink usually adds the etching and outlines.
Gotcha. No, I understand that. I saw Chasing Amy. Anyway, I haven't seen Chasing Amy. There's a joke in they explain how comic books are made in like the opening scene or something. Because that's literally the only reason they explain it is because that's what the two people do for a living. Like, you could have just had them have any other job. But he's like, no, let's explain the entire.
Let's explain comics.
I actually haven't seen that movie in forever.
I haven't seen it at all.
On that. This last one for Kitchen Irish, Punisher 7 through 12, says artist is, it just says artist. It doesn't say inks and pencils. It just artist and colors.
Because that means that the artist did inks and pencils.
Why don't you say inks and pencils? You know what? I'm getting off.
Because
topic.
He's the artist.
Whoever does all the art for these is wonderful. I really enjoy the style.
I mean, Derek Robertson would go on, is like good friend. I think at least good friends because they've worked together on another project, The Boys. If you should read The Boys.
I do want to read The Boys. Do you have should. It?
I don't have a. I do have a paperback, but but it's like volume 10.
Yeah, I want to read.
You don't want to start in the middle with that.
Yeah, I'm a trade paperback guy where I'll wait for them to come out. Finished reading Saga. That's over. Indefinitely, apparently. It's on an indefinite hiatus. The woman who writes it is working on some show. I don't remember what, but she's a writer on something.
Fiona, what's her name?
Yeah, Fiona.
Vaughn.
Fiona Vaughn, yeah. Jamie, look that up for us.
Oh no, Jamie. He's not
oh
here.
No, we're not the Joe Rogan podcast. But maybe one day we'll have Joe Rogan on our podcast.
So
that was Punisher. That was good. That was a nice little segment. But to branch off from the Punisher though, he uses a lot of guns, a lot of weapons, a lot of different stuff. Kills people different ways. What's your favorite weapon or other thing I just said that either he used or just in general? Weapon, you know, war machine, tank, airplane, specific one that you like, anyone that interests you?
Why don't you go first and let me know what I'm talking about here?
Oh, well, I didn't have anything really specific, but if I could buy one thing, because it's affordable, physically, right? Yeah, like if it was on sale down the street, I would walk down there and buy one. I want a Mosin Nagant.
A nugget?
The Moisty Nougat. The moist, nougaty center of the Russian army that won the war. It's just an iconic rifle, and apparently you can buy them for like $80.
Because they made so many of them.
Because they made so many of them.
And communism doesn't work.
Yeah.
Tommy gun.
Yeah.
Simple as that. It's iconic.
That's what they used to kill the Punisher's family, was a Tommy gun.
Oh my
they mentioned
God.
The one our fathers used. The Sam, the one our fathers used.
Oh my God. Holy isn't there a panel where his son gets shot through the mouth?
Through the mouth.
And he looks at his son's brains?
Yeah, in his hand, because he picked up the kid by the back of the head, and then he looked at his hand that he used to support the head, and there's just brains and blood on his hand. The bullet went in his open mouth, because he's holding his kid, and he's going, you're not hurt, what's wrong? There's no bullet wounds in you. And he's like, maybe he's okay. And then he felt it on his hand and he looked.
It's like, oh, shit. Oh, no.
That was devastating.
I told you, this comic's fucking sad and terrifying.
But you know what actually almost made me cry today? 100% serious. The lady who worked next door, Joanne. I adopted my cats through her. She just had to get, forgive me for not remembering, a knee replacement or something. So she was in the hospital for a surgery, and her cat was 21 years old. She said, please don't die while I'm out in the hospital. And she came home, and the cat was there, and she petted all night, and it passed away in her arms. She said, thank you for waiting for me. I'm not crying, you're crying.
I'm not crying.
It's
upsetting. Why are you putting
I don't know. It's a tribute to that 21-year-old cat that I never met, but I'm devastated in its passing.
Jesus Christ.
So on our next subject, this is the edgy podcast that we have then turned into the depressing dead cat episode.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Sorry. Last subject of the day is Star Trek. Pat, you started watching Star Trek recently. Next Generation.
Yeah, I skipped the first series. I thought it was, it's like,
you know what?
I thought
fair.
It would be too boring. Because I'm watching Next Generation. I'm like, this is boring.
Yeah.
And I like it.
Yeah. Old Star Trek is, It has a couple gems, but a lot of it is pretty boring. It plays it more like a submarine show. And yes. I like that about it. It has, like I said, it has its episodes. It's not my favorite series. I appreciate it, but it's not my favorite series. If you're going to watch any episode, it's got to be... You'll have to come back to me on that. I'll look it up and get back to you on my favorite episode. But it's very good. It's the one where they first meet the Romulans and they're kind of chasing each other.
Okay, so I've been watching episodes and I'm like, Romulans. They're always talking about Romulans.
Yes.
What are Romulans? Are they just space pirates?
No. Okay.
So are they just butt pirates?
No. Romulans are like a Vulcan subspecies. Like, okay, so like they literally look just like Vulcans, but with angrier eyebrows and larger shoulder pads. I'm not even kidding. And wow, they're literally
Roddenberry,
like,
you're a hack.
They're like cousins of the Vulcans, but they're literally Romans. In the original series, they were just straight up Romans. They're called Romulans. They're people. Their home is Romulus. The people underneath them were called like legates and stuff like that.
Oh,
like, it was literally
God.
They were just Romans in space with pointy ears and angry
fucking
eyebrows.
Gene
and
Roddenberry, you hack.
Yeah. Well, that's how it works. Is you take a culture and you turn everything up to 11 so that they're whatever their culture is, they're an extreme of one type of like emotion. Like Klingons are always angry. Every Klingon always angry, warlike. There's no Klingons that do art. Like, there are in Next Generation. You do find that stuff. But
like how they're... Because
Klingon opera.
Apparently there's a Klingon peace.
Yeah, there is peace with the Klingons in the Next Generation. There was... So what happened was... Who attacked who? Okay, so the Romulans were attacking... I could be wrong about this, but I think it was the Khitomer Outpost. That's where Worf came from. Worf was on the planet and his parents were killed there. Mm-hmm. The Klingons were attacked by Romulans. And the Enterprise C, the one before the Enterprise D that you're on right now, it stayed and fought off the Romulans long enough for the Klingons to escape and come back with more people. And they all died. And they said that was like the most noble warrior act ever. And
like,
peace with the Federation.
Friends.
Yeah. So there, it's a loose piece. There's still
because the neutral zone is like a DMZ in a way. Like
in a way, yeah. The Romulan neutral zone.
Oh, it's Romulan.
It's
I thought
Romulan
it was a
neutral
Klingon
zone.
Neutral zone.
There was a Klingon neutral zone in the first
until peace.
Until the peace, and
because it's basically a free fire zone.
Yeah,
like your dad used to talk about.
That's right. That's right. My father was in Vietnam. He would go up in this not C-130, a C-47, the Spooky. And he would get on the big old gun. I don't know, some minigun they had up there. I don't think it was a Vulcan at the time. It was something before that, I'm sure. And he says, there was this area on the ground, and if you saw anything move, you shot at it. He would circle the base. Saw something free fire, there you open fire. He goes, what was crazy is that you would see just a stream of bullets coming out of this thing. Glowing bullets. Just a stream. I mean, a constant. It wasn't even like there was a gap in between them. It was a line of these bullets. And you knew that in between each of these lines that you're seeing is like 12 more bullets. And when they hit, there's great footage on YouTube if you want to look up what it's like when a warthog hits a target. It fires on this car driving down the road.
Showed me this and I laughed my ass
off. It's like bowling
as
balls
terrible
have fallen from the sky and punched through this car
and
all the way.
And the best part is they make another pass
they
and
do.
Shoot it again.
They shoot it again. It rolls to a stop. And it's just
the engine is gone.
Well, yeah, no,
there is no engine.
So it's a lone car driving down a road. This is really morbid now that I'm thinking about it because these people are dead and we're laughing our asses off. But they were the enemy apparently. So I don't know. I wasn't there. For all I know, it's a remote control car for a military exercise. All
right, let's
just go on the assumption.
Let's go on that.
That's what it was.
So we're not morbid assholes.
So there's a car driving down a lone dirt road, desert road. Gets halfway down the screen, and then all of a sudden, there's a giant cloud of smoke, and you just hear, and out of the cloud of smoke, this cartoon-ass car just kind of like limps out with its wheel hanging off. And it just rolls to a stop with smoke coming out of it. There's giant, but larger than a bowling ball. I have to. It's like a cannonball. It's like a cannonball-sized hole. Medicine balls have fallen through this car. There's no engine left. There's like three big holes in the roof. And then like 25 seconds later,
they make another pass.
And a whole nother cloud happens. And
then there's no car.
There's no car left. There. That's it. It's a great video. We'll put a link in the description below. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. Tell us your favorite Star Trek episode, weapon and war machine, like the T-34 tank, your favorite Punisher comic, or your favorite part of the movie.
We'll say this before we end. I've been playing a lot of, because of watching Star Trek, I've been playing a lot of Stellaris.
Yes.
It's so much fun.
I have to check that out.
It's basically, it's a big, like, think of it as a board game.
Yeah.
Except it's like, there's AI going off constantly. There's all random events that can happen. However, the beauty is, you can create your whole race, and there's Klingon characters, like Avatar-looking ones. Not exactly Klingons.
Pretty close. But you know what?
I showed you the picture. And you're like, that's a Klingon.
You know why I say that? It's because it looked exactly like the Klingons from the J.J. Abrams film. You only see them briefly,
actually. Oh, with a little amount of shit on their face?
Yeah, they've got a bunch of piercings. Like, they literally they wore, like, Predator masks, and then they took them off, and I was like, yeah, I guess that's a Klingon.
I guess that's a Klingon. And, like, I didn't show you what else. There's Vulcans, too.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's, like, a super logic race?
Like, well, actually, you
can... Or they just look like...
Well, the thing is, like, you can choose... There's humanoid, reptilian, anthropomorphic, and all these other ones, even fungi.
You can be an anthro?
You can be a fungus.
Ooh.
And what you do is...
You can be the Zerg?
You could be the Borg if you wanted to.
Ooh.
And the beauty is, what happens is...
I want to get a little cutest of my own.
Because you can chain... You can create a race or species whenever you want. And hell, even after you create it, you could be like, I don't want to play with this one right now. But if there's a chance, put them in the game that I can go against.
Cool.
So every time you create a race, you're like, that's a new player that can be in the game.
No way.
And the beauty is, you pick your race, you choose just what they're like.
Throw extra AI in there.
Mm-hmm. You choose what the name of your space empire is, because of course you're making a space empire.
Oh, of course.
If you're not making an empire, playing the game wrong.
The First Galactic Empire.
The First, I'm not the first do it, Galactic Empire will rule the galaxy and destroy the Jedi.
I'm going to name my aliens the aliens from Independence Day.
What were they called?
Did they have a name?
I don't know.
I'm going to say no, and here's why I'm saying that. There's a pop vinyl we had. And it literally
it's still
just,
there.
Is it still there?
It's still there.
I'm not going to leave the microphone to go look for it. It's not worth it. But it just says alien.
It just
I'm
says
like
alien.
90% sure.
Actually, it says Alan.
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 I know you guys couldn't see, but my face just turned into a velociraptor because that was a reference to the Jurassic Park 3 scene where he's on the plane, he falls asleep, and the velociraptor looks at him and says, Alan.
Oh, my God. But after you choose what you want, because you could choose, like, there's all different types of the humanoids and what have you, like, if you wanted, and they can go through different presets of, like, colors and looks and what have you, like, face, which adds a lot of variety to each race as well. You choose the name of your federation. You can call it the federation. If you're a freaking soy boy.
You just be a loser and always plays the humans.
I want to do the prime directive. That's no fun. And then you can choose the way your society acts. For instance, you could be xenophobe, a fanatic xenophobe, which means you'll never react with other except for conquest and subjugation and eradication.
So you can enslave.
Yes. You could be the god emperor of mankind, and you can also enslave other races because they get added to your population. There's all a bunch of laws you can have, like,
or
you
take over whole planets.
You could be spiritual. Planets. You could be mercantile. You could be Ferengi for all you wanted to be. Rules of acquisition.
The first rule of acquisition: once you have their money, you
never give it back. it's so good.
And now. That works. A lot of those rules of acquisition are
just general business
rules. They're just pretty good business rules. Like, one of them is never sleep with your boss's sister.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Rule number three, never pay more for something than you have to.
Yes, never pay more for an acquisition than you need to.
Nothing is... I can't remember the name of this rule, but this one's kind of... this.
Don't remember the number, but war is good for business.
Yes.
Peace is good for business.
Either or is good for business.
Business is good.
It's good for profit. What's the other one? Nothing is more important than your life, except your money.
Dignity and empty sack is worth the sack. And that's one I don't subscribe to. You gotta have a little dignity.
Welcome to the boardwalk.
That's right.
But back to Stellaris. Sorry for that Ferengi talk of Star Trek. You could have the aspects of your race or what have you. If you choose a fanatical, you get less choices. Because it takes up two instead of one.
Mm-hmm.
So you can limit yourself and what have you. And then you choose the government style of that. Depending on what you have, determines what government style you'll have. For instance, if you choose authoritarian, what have you, you will not have a democracy or a republic. So it's just a democracy or an oligarchy. It will only be dictatorship or monarchy, which I think is neat. It locks them out.
Huh.
So
that makes sense.
And there's all different ones. Like you could be a religious authoritative dictatorship. So sending the faith of the God Emperor.
Okay.
Beauty is everyone changes. Like, for instance, a democracy will change its leader every, like, 10 years. So you can choose, like, you can recruit leaders who have different skills. Uh-huh. And, like, when it comes to election, it'll be like, choose one of these four or that you want. And you'll spend some influence on it. I won't get into that because that's another mechanic. It's just like, fuck. There's a lot of shit in this game. Or you could just be like, fuck it. Whoever comes is the new president or chancellor or prime chancellor. Ooh. Oligarchy is more like, I think, 20 or 30 years is a change in real leadership. Or if the guy fucking dies.
Yeah.
Of course.
Right.
Dictatorship, they elect who they want upon their death. And monarchy, dead. Next guy, get him in. It's like you don't really have a choice for that. Same as a dictatorship, oligarchy, and democracy. They change more often. However, the beauty of dictatorship and monarchy is once you have your guy, you don't have to worry about losing him.
Speaking about dictatorship, a little bit to change the subject, just a little bit. Are you worried about Germany in the future?
No.
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 No. You think they're just totally tame?
Listen, they have all the money.
That's what I'm afraid of.
No, I'm not afraid of them. They have they control the EU bank because Germans are very good with money. They have always been very good with money.
Pat, are you trying to say Germans are good with money?
Yes.
Are you trying to say the people that live in Germany are good with money?
Germans.
And like, just like Asians are good at math, like Germans are good with money.
No. Let me rephrase that.
I'm not saying it's racist.
Historically, those living within Germany have been very good with money and bookkeeping and records, especially that. No, we won't get on that. Especially Nazis. They left a lot of evidence behind for us to use because they documented everything.
You're absolutely right. I forgot about that part. Yes. If you had led with that, I would have been like, yeah, you're right. Germans are good with money. They're also good with teeth.
That's not funny.
No, that wasn't funny, but it was evidence and documented, and they did it.
And they're sorry. Okay, back to Stellara so I can finish this up. After you do that, you pick your thing. So you chose the aspects of your race or species. Then you chose the government style. And then with the government and the aspects that you've chosen, it allows you to pick like certain things that are unique to your government combination. For instance, I showed you the one about Starship Troopers.
Yes. I'm doing my
service guarantee citizenship, and that's a literal quote, and I love it.
Great.
They actually put it in there. I'm like,
that's a direct reference.
So, if you're wanting to play a warlike nation, you'd use that because it allows you to have more ground troops and maybe even more navy. It's useful, and so you can monitor. Full citizens aren't exactly. We'll get onto that. Then you give your flag and what have you, and then and once you start playing the game, it's like, oh. You survey a bunch of systems that are nearby. You can only go through. Everyone starts with, like, basic impulse. So they can only go, basically like Star Trek. So it's on the door. So you can only go from system to system that is nearby. I think later on you get the technology where you can just go warp across the galaxy.
Faster than light.
Probably. Yeah. And the beauty is certain stars. And, like, you can go near black holes and everything and stars and whatever. However, each one, like a nebula, you can't see into it. So it's great to ambush people.
Yeah.
Because piracy is allowed in the game.
Yeah.
You could be Romulan.
They're not pirates.
Who are the space pirates? Just space pirates.
I guess random pirates. There's no faction.
Rogue Klingons.
Sure.
Okay. There's also neutron stars, which mess with your FTL. So
the Maquis. Continue. They're actually more like a freedom for fighters. They're like a terrorist cell.
Freedom fighters.
Yeah. They are a terrorist cell. but they actually are freedom fighters. They're in the plot of their thing is that it's kind of like World War II on their planet, and they're the Jews. So, they really are freedom fighters. But, like, they also refer to themselves as terrorists, like, all the time.
Oh my God.
Resistance cells. That's what they were called. Not terrorist cells, resistance cells.
That doesn't sound good.
But go on. Stellaris.
So, like, the nebulas will shield the ships so you can't look into it, which means also somebody could ambush you if you're not careful. Neutron stars will mess with your FTL, so it's harder to get out of a fight if you get into it. Good if you're ambushing somebody. Bad if you're if you're losing the fight. And black holes are almost impossible to escape. I think if your ships are wounded enough, they can't make it out of there. They just get sucked right in. So it's like a do or die battlefield. and it's great if only one path goes through it. So you can have like a hot gates like Sparta.
Yeah.
Really good. You can also, you can colonize planets, but based on, I forgot to mention that when you make your species, you select which planets are mostly good for it. So like ocean worlds, savannas,
gotcha.
Temperate, or even deserts.
What class planet it is? An M-class planet is like Earth.
The planets, they do class stars. I didn't really see planets because sometimes it's toxic is nothing, barren is nothing. But it's like, and depending, like if you're an ocean planet, you'll have a 10% chance that a colony will survive on a desert planet. So you're most likely going to have to terraform it later. But that you need the technology later on.
The game's on my wish list. I'm very excited for
it. You should get it next time it's on sale.
Yeah,
I will. And the expansions are very good for it.
Is it multi at all?
Yes.
Ooh. Is it multi co-op?
You don't have to be co-op.
But you can?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Well, it's like you both come in and it's like, hey, you want a peace deal? Sure. I don't want to be in this peace deal anymore. Die.
Please don't screw me over. Please don't stab me in the back when I finally get this game. Star Trek Bridge Crew.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. But you're going to like it more the more you watch Star Trek.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, here's something you really will find interesting. Certain planets that you go to can actually have humanoid life on it that is developing. You can find them all the way in like the Neolithic age where they're just hitting shit with rocks.
Can you give them nuclear energy and just see what happens?
Yes, but not in the way you're talking about.
Oh, you want to nuke them?
Yes.
Okay, no, I want to give them...
You can orbitally bombard their planet and take it over if you're an asshole.
I want to give them an unlimited fuel source and just see what happens to a bunch of Neanderthals with it.
No.
Can we edit out all these times we bump the case?
I'm sorry.
Thanks, Tim.
Another thing, but like you could, the beauty is you can set up an observation post that goes around the planet because they're stupid monkey men.
They can't tell that that's like not an orbiting star.
Later on, they'll realize, oh, someone's watching us because the civilization will evolve over time to the point when it gets to the same level as you or just below it, like it's gotten to their first rockets.
I have a question.
Yes.
How is this civilization advancing so quickly if your civilization is not also advancing just as quick, if not quicker?
Because technically, your observation post isn't exactly for observation. You don't have to follow a prime directive like in Star Trek. You can actually interfere with them like, hey, here's a little bit of tech. So it speeds them up.
So you can give them stuff.
Yes, but it's more like a passive. It doesn't exactly happen.
Oh.
Like you don't actively do it. It's like once you set up the post, it's like, oh, it starts evolving. The best is when you come across a planet that's in its atomic age because they fight back.
Oh.
And they got nukes. Nukes don't go well against orbital bombardments.
No.
And the beauty is once you find a planet and you actually observe them for long enough and they're about the equivalent of your technology or like one below it, you can actually incorporate them into your planet. And their species will now be, and now an AI species, will now be part of your empire, which is neat. So your pie chart goes from big blue ball to, ooh, a yellow slice.
Huh.
And the beauty is people constantly emigrate between planets because of the populations, and it's really cool and also really annoying because shit always changes and I don't like it. And the beauty is when you set up a colony ship to go colonize a new planet, once you have a new species in, it's like, well, this race, my starter race, is really good at occupying ocean planets, but this is a desert. I'll go send the desert species to go colonize it, and it makes it a lot easier for them. It's still part of your empire. Now, when you go against another nation, I did this on my first game I saw this. I met the fungus people, and they were peaceful and pacifist and like very spiritual. They're like, hello, friend, and I'm a slight xenophobe. I'm like, hello.
Another flamethrower.
Welcome, alien. We welcome you, fellow alien, and all of your odd kin, because that's an actual type. You can
odd kin.
Odd kin.
That sounds like one of them, you know, one of them gender things. No. I identify as an odd kin.
No.
I'm sorry, was that transphobic?
No, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know anymore. But what happened is they had their stability against one of their planets went down because you got to monitor these sometimes because they start to rise up. One of them broke off from their own empire. And immediately after that happened, because these fungus people are on my border, so I'm like, I want to take some of your planets, or your star systems at least, because I do.
Yeah, they're a threat.
Even though they're pacifist and
They're a threat.
They're a threat.
They're a threat because they're using up resources that you could be using. That
they should be mine by right. And immediately after it broke off, I went to their panel, and I guaranteed their independence. So if you declare they've broken off, but no war has actually happened yet. But if there is, I'm in. And instead of backing the peaceful pacifist group, I back the terrorist organization, which is literally like evil, authoritarian, and everything. I'm like, yeah, I'm basically America right now. And it's a lot of fun. It really is. It's like, if you ever wanted a Star Trek power fantasy or a Warhammer power fantasy, the game is great. And the DLCs add a lot. For instance, the new one that came out was Relics, mm-hmm. where it's like, it's now more in depth of, because scan a planet with your scientist ship. That's how you survey to realize resources and all that. Once in a while, you come across an anomaly. You're like, depending on the difficulty, you can do it. And it's like, there's a strange glitch in the system. It seems like this thing's going about as fast as FTL, but only in an orbit. Well, that's a hard turn. Let's research it. Oh, it's literally just a box. It's going around orbit as fast as shit. Stop it with your tractor beam. We got it. Crack that bitch open. It's got a bunch of tech that we don't know about.
Oh.
Stuff like that. Or it could be, oh, it's just a glitch. Oh. It's just a glitch. We learned how to avoid it now. They added it so now relics are more in depth and what have you, and like more things on alien civilizations and archaeology and all that. One is called Corporations, if you wanted to be a mega corp in space.
Can I be Whale and Yutani?
Yes. Another is
By and Large.
I think in that one you can even make a like a biosphere around the sun. Like an actual like constructive things so you can
Dyson sphere
yeah you can actually build those around it.
Oh cool, they're theoretical and they come up in like every science fiction thing. You definitely come across like three of them on Star Trek Next Generation alone. Not only that, they ripped off an episode. The Orville took like their an idea from that. Yeah. Oh no, you know what it was? It's an amalgamation of two episodes. The Orville just kind of merged them, and the Orville had a people living inside of a Dyson sphere.
Why not?
Yeah. They lived on, like, the inside edge or whatever.
Doomsday DLC is like, hey, you want to make a giant space laser that can blow up an entire planet, like in Star Wars? Apparently that's the less well-received DLC.
Oh.
Because your enemies can make that before you even meet them.
Oh. Do you just come across somebody with a technological terror?
And the final DLC, which was the first one, was, I think, called Leviathan. And what it was basically, you have giant alien monsters that are about as big as a planet floating through the galaxy. And they can either be neutral, passive, or even aggressive. So it's spooky. It's like a giant space, cosmic space whale going through. And you're like,
you got Cthulhu in space and shit.
A little bit.
Tin Man. Did you come across Tin Man yet?
No.
That was a good episode.
I just finished the last episode I saw was the one where one planet is pushing drugs on another planet.
That was a great one.
It was a great episode. I'm like, it's like, there's no symptoms of a disease. And I'm like, they're pushing drugs!
Yeah. It's just space heroin.
It's like, the disease is cured, but it comes back within 72 hours. Disease, huh? That's a...
Sounds like
drugs. Alright. Yeah, well, that's Stellaris, huh? I think I went through about 15 minutes just talking about Stellaris.
You did. I yawned a bunch.
Sorry.
No, it's because it's late, but also because I really didn't have anything to picture during that. I didn't know what I was like thinking about other than Star Trek.
I'll send you links.
Yeah, the links will be in the comments below.
Sorry, I just really like Stellaris.
I'm really excited to play it.
Great.
I really like Star Trek and this Punisher comic.
Is there anything?
And I like doing this podcast.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to say before?
Yeah, come visit us on 25th Street and the Boardwalk. Come buy some toys.
In
Wildwood, New Jersey. The, I don't know, best boardwalk or something.
All right.
I guess.
Catch us again next time.
Thanks for joining us.